Then I knew what it was before he said. He told me that he passed away. At first, I could safely say I was in shock in a way. I couldn't grasp the idea of him dying, especially he was my age. He's actually a day older than I am.
Danny is my friend. He volunteers with me at the American Corner as an English teacher. I have known him since no longer than a year, but being with him feels like I've known him for a lot of years. You would recognize Danny the first time you lay eyes on him, a humble young man with a look on his face, always ready to smile.
I'm Danny, and I'm a musician. When I grew up, I had this friend who's called Joette, and me and him, it was easy to spot that we were very different people. We were not alike, but we couldn't keep it be the best friends. I mean, he was like a brother to me. He always insisted on me, like, not making the mistakes he did. Well, I believe he saw something in me, and he was one of the, I mean, the only one who actually believed in me, who saw someone better, who saw the person I could be. He saw the potential in me. And he never, ever refrained from saying it, from showing it. But as I'm not perfect, kind of didn't really listen to him a lot. I try to be more like him than trying to be the person he wanted me to be. It kind of got me into some wrong paths, you could say, especially in high school. He always insisted on me never even touching a cigarette. But there came a time where I just couldn't keep like my curiosity of just refrain. I had to try it. I had to figure out, because I always loved trying new things. And it kind of started out as a bad habit from it. That summer, when I went to meet him, because in Batna, we used to know each other. Now I'm here in Oran. And when I got there in summer and stuff, and he figured out that I was smoking, he really, really got upset. We had like a huge fight. He really didn't like what I was doing. Let him be upset and didn't try to fix anything. I just kept my bad habit. I was like, I was thinking that he could understand, you know, like teenager stuff, idiotic stuff. So the mistake I did is leaving it as it was. I didn't try to hear him. I just heard his words, not what he said. And I got back home after the holidays. School started out and stuff, just keeping out the bad habit. I stopped practicing sports, stopped doing everything that could be right for me at that age. And I kind of paid for it big time. I mean, I still remember it. It was 2010. It was my first year in high school. It was October, the start of the year, because September kind of went by just like that. October was 10th of October, I still remember it. It was a Friday. I got a call. It was just, it was my aunt. She loved him a lot. It was like a son to her. And I couldn't barely hear a word she was saying. I couldn't understand. I just heard Joette, and I kind of figured out something was terribly wrong. Then her husband talked on the phone. He knew I was like really close to him and stuff. He told me he had bad news, and
it was at that terrible Friday when Danny's world had fallen apart by the loss of his closest one. But it's the reason of his death and the guilt that Danny will have to swallow is what's going to keep him up at night.
So actually it was 2 days after it. We went to the funeral in Batna. I met some of his friends. I kind of chatted with them a bit and tried to figure out what happened exactly, because kind of didn't know why at that time, but everyone refused to tell me why he died. They just said he had a heart attack. And that's all I knew, but how that happened, because I didn't know he had a condition or something. Then when his friends told me what he did, and sure, I don't want to like stain his image in a way, but he died because of a heart attack that was caused by huge consumption of drugs along with alcohol. I could grasp something, an idea, the idea he had. In a way, I could see like his death was just a lesson for me. But as I couldn't keep myself from being an idiot again, I mean, I didn't stop smoking after it. I didn't stop the bad habit. I couldn't keep myself from blaming my being, my habits, for all that that happened. I mean, I could. So it was my fault. I mean, I lost him. I mean, he was the closest friend to me. When we had a fight, we didn't get a chance to fix things. But that didn't keep the lesson from getting into me. That's the thing. As a teenager, you're not really wise. So fixing things wouldn't seem like something doable. Sure, you want to feel strong as a teenager, but you know you're not. So what you do, you just make things worse. You punish yourself. So I only smoked heavier. I only did everything that was not supposed to do what he hated me for. Well, he hated in me. I mean, it was a punishment to myself that right now there is no use of being better because there is no one asking me to be better. There's no one wanting me to be better. And I just kept punishing myself again and again. I kept hating myself. I started deviating. I mean, school grades were going downhill. I used to be the best in class in everything. Everything went down there. Everything got messed up. That's what, like, even, like, I lost a lot of people who kind of cared about me in a way. I didn't blame life. I blamed myself. His death was my fault for me. So I made always the wrong choices. Sure, I didn't drink, but smoking was also, like, was the next, like, worst thing to it. Now, I just hope I'm making him proud. Because I didn't stay in that hate. I chose to understand the message. And that's what the next thing came after it. I was all about being a new person. A new man, if you could say. Not a teenager anymore. I was grown up. It was different. I was gonna have responsibilities someday. That's all I cared about. I mean, his acceptance. So if I could see him right now, two things I would say. My deepest apologies to him for what I did, for the mistakes I made, and just to ask him to try to see how I fixed myself. I mean, how I turned my life. I'm not saying I'm being successful at it right now perfectly, but I've made huge improvement. But after death of Jawed, also a lot of stuff happened, a lot of life changing. I kind of met him again, but I met the person he wanted, not the person he was.
When Danny thought he was writing on a new page after the storm he came out of, he was only tracing the same story and traveling backward to play the same role he played before.
I met a girl. Her name was Lila. She didn't even go to my high school. I just got to know her by chance. She knew a friend. And the thing about her, she was very special to people. I noticed everyone really liked her, like actually liked her, not liked her image. Everyone really loved her. She had true friends, and that inspired me a lot. That really got my interest. I mean, how can a person that like that exist? And she really got my attention. And as a teenager, you're helpless. I mean, to just feel like you desperately fall in love, and you know that. So I couldn't but just fall for her. And she really, really opened my eyes about a lot of stuff in life. She taught me the meaning of being selfless, to just care for others, really care, to be really understanding, to be really helpful, even if you can't help, but listen, and to just do something that shows you want to help, and people actually care about that. And just kept telling me a lot of stuff. I mean, something she told me, which I will never forget. She told me, like, about the people who hate you the most. If they know you, if they get to know you, are the ones who are gonna love you the most. Because sometimes we reflect the wrong image. does people don't see the red. Sure, we can see them as judgmental, but we should also blame ourselves for the image we give. Sometimes no one is perfect, so we shouldn't expect people to have a perfect perspective towards us. Shouldn't expect them to see us perfectly, as maybe we are or we are not. It doesn't matter. I don't know. Life kind of sent another message to me with that one. Ironic, you could say. A year and exactly a month later, after being together with her, it was also October. I still remember that day as if it was yesterday. I remember she didn't show up that morning. She always did. She was never absent. She was always present. I mean, that's the thing about her. You could always find her. That day she didn't show up. It wasn't just me who was worried. It was everyone. She didn't give a sign. She usually says when she's not gonna be around. And till the afternoon, I couldn't keep myself from going to their place. It was around, I don't know, 4 p.m. when I got out of the high school, around 3:30, I guess. So I got there. I found her sister, and I asked her where she is, and she told me she was in hospital, and I was asking why. She refused to tell me why, till the day after it, when she got her phone again, and I called her. And that's the thing, at first when she answered the phone, I was kind of relieved, because she sounded happy, I don't know. She sounded good. I was worried. I asked her what happened. Why were you in the hospital and stuff? And she told me. We should meet. I should come by their house.
The relief that call gave Danny didn't last for long, as he quickly realized that the matter is actually more serious than to be discussed through a phone call.
And I did, 2 hours later, I guess, after the call. And I went by their house, and I got there as I got through the front door. I knew something was wrong. I mean, I saw the mother's face. It was pale. And the vibe, the energy in the place was all wrong. It was all messed up. But hers was not. She was in peace. I mean, I got there and asked her, and she told me what happened. She told me that she was diagnosed with cancer, lung cancer, and was terminal. And she wasn't even going to go through treatment. She doesn't want to. And I stayed quiet for at least an hour, just standing there in shock. Sorry. It was kind of tough. Just look at that as a situation. I mean, a person who was the person I thought I could never find in my life. And life chose to take it off, for it not to stay anymore. I don't know. But then she asked me something. She asked me to do something to make her a promise that I will see life more positively. That I find love, that not just romantic love, that I love myself. That I love my family, that I love whatever's gonna come next in my life. I promised her, I told her that I'll keep that promise, that I will not go in a negative way about life. And a few months after it, came January, she was not getting any better. And then the 14th of January came. And that day I got a call from a sister, and I was told that she passed away. And I don't know, I'm still kind of not sure how to feel about that. I didn't even grieve about it. Still puzzled by what happened. It still feels like a dream. I mean, went that fast. Everything happened so fast. I don't remember even what happened in between that time. What I did, what I had, what I watched, movies or stuff. I don't remember any of that. I just remember the time I went to visit. But after it, I kind of, after months, after it, I failed my year. That time I had to repeat the year. That's when I changed the field, because I used to be scientific, and I changed into languages. More like because I was trying to focus on something else. I had now a reason to be a musician, because I always had loved music, and I always were passionate towards it. And I wasn't good at anything. I was bad at all instruments, and I was even a bad singer. I had a horrible voice, actually. But I tried to pursue it. I started off with metal, and the thing is, I started loving the person I created then, the musician, because for me that's another person. For me there are two persons in me. There's the one that came after that, someone stronger, someone better, someone more focused in life, someone who knew who he wanted to be. And I started out focusing more on my musical career. I mean, it was time for a change and just not be wiser but be smarter about life. So I started out learning instrument, which was the guitar. So I still remember that first guitar. I mean, it was red. It was terrible. It was pretty much unplayable. Even the first, I still remember the first day I played it. It was in December, I think. So remember, it was cold as hell, and I got home. That was the first time I was gonna try that guitar. It had like steel strings, and my fingers actually started bleeding that night because I wanted to play that bad. I didn't know chords, I didn't know notes, I didn't know anything. So remember, even the first thing I learned to play, it was Chop Suey by a band called System of a Down. It was like my song of the time. So I wanted to play that, I wanted to learn that, I wanted to like learn the songs that I was passionate about. That was a time of change, and I kind of started, I wouldn't say liking people more, but I started being open to people more. I started trying to help. I mean, why hate on people who just didn't know any better in life? Some have had like a straight on written life, all decided they wanted something different, so they might do something that comes out as bad. But that's not a reason to hate them for it. That's not a reason to judge them for it. So I try to be more understanding to people. Sure, I've been betrayed, or I've been lied to, sure, but I kind of don't hold grudges, don't hate for it. I understand. I mean, everyone has their reasons. Some are more valid than the others, but it's their reason. Why do I get... the chance to get away with what I did, and they don't. We're all the same, we're all equal in a way. So I started like trying to be those persons who taught me those lessons. And music was like the best thing that happened to me. Because music was like being able to be a friend to the one who's listening to you. Sure, you can get one person, one fan listening to you, you can get millions or thousands of fans. If those people listen to your lyrics and they can relate to your lyrics, they can know that they're not the only ones with that situation going, what they can understand in your lyrics, you're being a friend to them, you're listening to them, and they're listening to you also. So having those many fans, it's not being famous, it's not having money, it's not being known, it's just having thousands of friends that maybe don't know you personally, but they know you through the songs. And it depends on what you sing about, but you're still singing about something you feel. It's not something you say, it's not something you pretend to say. You're feeling that, because a good song is something you feel. If it's not heartfelt, it's not gonna last, it's not gonna be that people could listen to it for like 5 minutes and then forget about that song. But if you feel that song, people won't forget it. That's kind of my goal right now. Maybe I'm not gonna be that perfect person. But if I could do it through music, then why not? It's a way, it's still valid, it helps. So I always had this message in songs, trying to make the world a better place. Maybe not a perfect place, but a better place. And try to get my lessons to people. So, I mean, mostly lately, the ones who are getting heard most are Chase Me Away and In Your Memory. Two songs. In Your Memory is about Leila. Last year, on the day of her death, just kind of celebrating the person she was. I didn't talk about her personally in the song, but I talked about what she left behind. And it's all that matters, what you leave. I mean, my wish is just for the two of them to be proud of me, because they did everything they could just to make sure I was a better person. They were selfless, and if they can be proud of me, the person I am, then I would have had everything I wish to have in my life, because that's kind of my wanted dream. Simple thing that I could say is just learn to love and forget hating, because it doesn't get you anywhere. It just makes wrong relationships and big misunderstandings. Right now, I'm a musician and a student, volunteer at American Corner, and helping around with the cool activities here. And also teaching Let's Talk American, just trying to make sure people know more about sounding like an American and making sure they communicate the American way. Also, I present the class American Heritage along with you. I'm really proud of this place. It's a part of improvement for myself, because it's making me surrounded by better people. It's giving me better habits, and it's probably one of the reasons they should be proud of me. And I hope I could deliver a message here. This kind of concludes what I think a way of why my life is like this. And this concludes also what I have to say to people. My current message. This should be everything. I hope I haven't skipped anything.
And life goes on searching for tomorrow, that we always like to call our home as we move on. Yet we never stay for long. We just keep on looking for our next destination that only exists inside the crowds of thoughts and visions we have preconceived about our future.
The future, the less you think about it, the better it gets, because it's better to be surprised, I think. I don't mind any kind of future that comes to me, because a future will have to be a past that I must accept. So I just learn to love the future as much as I love the past, horrible or amazing. So the future is just a lesson to come. The more you learn, the better you make choices. But also, I expect anything, and I'm ready to take anything that life has thrown at me or is going to throw at me. I'm not ready to let go or let down. Not even myself, not the persons who count on me, not the persons who wanted me to be better. So I just work for a better future, and I hope for a better future, but I'm ready for everything.
Show is over, close the storybook. There will be no encore. And all the random hands that I have shook, well, they're reaching for the door. I watch the backs as they leave single file. You stood stubborn, cheering all the while. I know I can be kind. I know I can be great. And I know this loser's living fortunate. 'Cause I know